Arise is a platform where God is raising an army of men that knows God, loves God, and live their lives in the light of God's purpose.
Welcome to Arise Shine Christian Network.
I wanted to pay attention to the following instruction for the teaching that will begin tonight. We're going to be starting a series tonight, and it is the first of its kind since the beginning of this movement about 5 years, 6 months, and 11 days ago. It has never been taught, because there is time and there are seasons for everything. Here are the following instructions I want you to pay attention to, even as you listen and participate of what the Lord will be opening our eyes to see tonight. Number one, I want you to listen with an open heart. Listen to this message tonight with an open mind that is ready for a change. Until you are ready for a change, there will never be a change. Until you are ready for a shift, there will never be a shift. As long as you are complacent with where you are, nothing will move there. What you watch has a right to remain. So number one, listen tonight with an open heart, ready for a change. Number two, this message is going to have many parts, and you must listen to all of the parts, because all of the parts must be coupled together to give you the whole counsel that the Lord is bringing our way by this teaching. So you must get all the parts. I don't know how many parts it's going to get into, but I'm sure that I will not unnecessarily stretch it beyond it should be. But you must, no matter how many parts it falls, if you really desire to see the manifestations and the experience of the things that the Lord desires for bringing us such a word, then you must listen to all the parts. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Number three, the message that is coming to us tonight is not one of the get rich quick teaching. It's not a scheme. It's not a teaching that teaches and emphasizes mundane pursuit and ungodly desire and affinity towards money. No, it is not a money monger principle. It is still part of the counsel of God. So I want you to open your heart and listen to the word as a kingdom solution for this time. Why is God giving us such a message? Because the only kingdom way out of poverty, the kingdom way out of poverty, is the teaching and the preaching of the gospel. We sat through the scripture, Isaiah chapter number 61. If you will quickly give me that scripture, Isaiah chapter number 61 and verse 1. Look at what the Bible says there. Isaiah 61 and verse 1. Prepare for me also Matthew 11 and verse 4. Look at what the Bible says in Isaiah 61 and verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. To preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, and to proclaim liberty and the openings of prison to them that are bound. The word meek there, if you will change it to New King James Version, please, and stay on it. The word meek there is the word unto the poor. He has anointed me to preach good tidings unto the poor. That means when it comes to kingdom prescription, out of poverty, it is not prayer alone. When it comes to kingdom perceptions out of poverty, it is not any other thing. It must be taught. It must be preached. Why? Because kingdom wealth, as you will be learning beginning from tonight, has many components that must be put together. And until all the components are put together, you will not get the desired result. This is why we teach. This is why when it comes to the subject of kingdom, wealth and prosperity, it must be taught. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 4. Matthew 11 and verse 4. We're going into verse 5. Look at what the Bible says here. It said, Jesus answered and said to them, Jesus now speaking, go and tell John the things which you have heard. Now, John got to a level in his life where he began to doubt if Jesus was the Messiah that was to come. And he sent forth his disciple because now he's in the prison. And the response Jesus was going to give to validate that he is actually the Messiah that he prophesied that was to come. He said, go and tell John the things that you have heard and the things that you have seen. Next verse. What are the things? The blind see, number one. The lame walk, number two. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. What is the next thing? The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. So it means when it comes to prescription in this kingdom to the poor, it must be the complete gospel preached to them. You cannot get access into this dimension of kingdom, wealth and prosperity by impactations. You cannot get access into this dimension of prosperity by just following you and slaying you under the anointing. No, you must be taught. It must be a precept upon precept. Every section that God pulls up to produce the kingdom, wealth and prosperity must be taught. Therefore, tonight we are going to be starting a series, Kingdom Wealth System. This is going to be the part one, and it's going to be the introduction. Wherever we get to and stop, we will stop and then pray. Because as much as there is a teaching side of it, there is also a prayer side of it. Kingdom Wealth System. Let me start this teaching by telling you two stories. And the two stories I'm going to be telling you are true life stories. Number one. There was a man who worked as a low-level employee in a company. And in recognition of his contribution to the success of that company, the company gave him an opportunity to go with other senior executives of the company on an all-expense-paid trip from Africa to America. Now, it happened in the days where most of the travelings happened by ship. And so because it's by ship, you may have to spend like 3 weeks or a month between Nigeria and America. And so this man, when he settled into the ship with his family, himself, his wife, and his children, they took them to the cabin. The cabin now is the section where he was to stay while the ship moved. The ship is so big, for many of us who doesn't know, it's so big that we can have a hall like this in a ship and we'll still be having meeting without feeling that something is moving, whereas we are on a journey to where we are going. Is that okay? We can have a medical facility there. In fact, some very big ship will have a cinema where you can go out and watch a movie, whereas you are still on a journey going to your destination. And so they said to them in a ship, and he was put at his cabin with his family, and they stayed there. And the first night, the second night, the third night, the journey was to be a 3 weeks journey. The man will wake up with his family. While we were coming for the trip, they bought a lot of biscuits because they know that they will need to eat between now and where they are going for the next 3 weeks. So they bought a lot of biscuits as much as they could afford. And they got into the ship with biscuits. In the morning, the wife the man and the children will eat biscuits. Whereas people are out there, you know, people are moving around, there are restaurants and there are many events happening in the sheep, but they settled in that corner of the sheep and were feeding themselves with biscuit as they go on that journey. Then at the last day, of the trip, when they have announced by, it has been announced by the captain of the ship that, okay, we are a day close to the journey and by this time tomorrow, we shall reach our destination. So the man said to his wife, he said, now that we are where we are going, you know, maybe we should just go out and see if we can buy some food for ourselves and then eat. Only that we will just not buy beyond what we could have, we can afford and all that. And the people, the other people, company members, the executives have been wondering, where is this man? Why is he not coming out? We don't see him. And that night, the man came out with his family. I mean, by now, you know, he would have been lean, feeding on biscuit alone. Came out with his family and the children and met one of the executives. Said, Mr. John, where have you been? He said, I've been in my cabin. You people don't come out to eat? He said, if you come out to eat, you will pay. I can't afford most of the food there. And then they asked him, bring out the ticket that was given to you for this journey. And he saw on that ticket, all expense paid. That means the ticket you are holding does not only cater for your trip, your transportation. In that ticket also is the provision for the meal, as much as you can. Now, this man found out this on the last day of the trip. Having fasted most of the time and suffered hunger, the children now are lean. What you're supposed to be an adventure, an enjoyment trip, has become a trauma and the troubles for the family. But I found out the things that belongs to him at the last period of his life. Now, I said this story to tell you that if you don't pay attention to the dictates and the mysteries, the secrets that God will be unraveling to us in these coming days, many believers will get to heaven and discover that their life actually represented the direct opposite of what heaven stands for. Many believers believe that the more poor you are, the more holy you are. Many believe that actually one of the symbols of your suffering with Christ is that you must live a life of poverty, a life of wretchedness, and live as a miserable entity on the earth. Just like this man. The second story. A young man was called into the ministry at the age of 24. And God explained to him and gave him a glimpse of the many-minded things that he will be doing with him and his ministries in the nations of the world. And now that in his plan and his agenda, he wants to take the ministry to the nations of the world and do many mighty things with him. The first year of the ministry, the man was poor by every expression of poverty. The man was so poor that him and his new wife, newly married wife, would have to live in an uncompleted building where the church was using at that time. They wake up in the morning as early as 3 o'clock to clean the hall so that the visitors who are coming to attend the services will not meet the bed and the stool they put together to sleep. They were so poor that when this man gave birth to his first child, they fed the family. Somebody in the church gave them Cerelac. Cerelac is the food you give to young children. There was no food in the house except for the carton of the Cerelac. So both the father, the mother, and the new baby were feeding on this Cerelac for the next 2 weeks because there was no food for them to eat. This man got tired of this experience after 2 years of being called into the ministry. And he packed his Bible and got two other books from men who are walking in the reality of what he desires in the earth, and went on a journey. The first day, locked up himself somewhere, fasting, praying, reading, and studying, have you called me into a life of poverty, O Lord? Is there a provision for kingdom wealth and prosperity? He began to bite into the books, bite into the scriptures, praying and consecrating himself. Because the Bible says that whosoever ask will receive. Whosoever knock, it shall be opened. Whosoever seek shall found. On the third day, heaven heard the voice of this man. And by the March the 22, 1982, this man broke into the secret of kingdom prosperity. As at the time when he broke into this secret, he was still poor. But he screamed in the midst of that secret, "No, I will never be poor again." 40 years or 30 years after, the man I speak about is the richest man of God in the whole of the universe. His name is Bishop David Olaniyi Oyedepo. He was born with no advantage and came into the ministry with no advantage. But he got tired of a life of mediocrity. The same blood that saved me did not prosper me. Is there no provision in the kingdom where the needs of the believer must be met? Why is it that the number one identity of the Christians and the believer in the world that I see is a life of poverty? It has so much become so popular that the coined an adage out of that experience, as poor as the church rats. That means you can be rich, but the moment you get into the church, you have to be poor, as though poverty is synonymous to Christianity. And by the experience and the exposure of this great man, amongst many other men in the kingdom who have handled this reality, they begin to call a generation out. That you don't have to serve God in poverty. Actually, it is the Lord that delights in the prosperity of the saints. What I'm about to teach you tonight and in the coming days will not be taught you in class. You will not be taught in school. You will not even be taught in a religious settings. You will only be taught in this complete form that the Lord will be bringing to our way, in the spiritual environment of a place chosen by God such as this. Kingdom wealth systems. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. Let's begin our journey. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18.
By wisdom, O God, heaven's gate open up. With understanding, you hold up the seasons, creating day and night, calling darkness into light, arranging the stars to your pleasing. Baraku et Adonai Vavora Elolam Vae. Baraku et Adonai Vavora Elolam.
Bring it down a little for me. When I add the story of this man, and I add the stories of men like Archbishop Benson Idahosa, and I add the stories of men like Kenneth Copeland, I made up my mind. I was born also with no advantage. You've heard me say times and again, the first 25 years of my life, I lived it in a face you, I slap you apartment, where you would have to shift the center table and put it on the chair and throw a mattress on the floor that is filled with bed bugs. That was where I was born, and that was where I was growing. I lived among people who believe poverty is normal, that it is normal for you to be born and to struggle through lives. But when I came in contact with these patriarchs, and listened to their stories, I made up my mind and I went on the search. Brothers and sisters, I am not coming to you tonight with a cunning device, Phoebus. I am not coming to you tonight with just the stories that I had from the fathers of faith. I am coming to you tonight with the things that I've heard. I have come into you tonight with the things that I have seen. I have come into you tonight with the things that by God's mercy, I have been privileged to handle. Kingdom wealth is real. Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. I would want that you will participate with an open heart in this series and avoid every form of distraction. Because you may have been born poor, you would have to make a new decision if you will not give birth to the next generation in poverty. Everything you have seen in your parents, they learned how to be it. And you have subliminally also learned. But you will need a paradigm shift tonight to have a different result. Are we together tonight? Let's read with a loud voice. 1, 2, go. Pardon, sorry, I apologize for that. Let's start all over again, please. 1, 2, go. That means, before we came on the scene, the price of the wealth was paid. There was a covenant that this Lord that never breaks covenant had with the fathers. And on the ground of this covenant, one of the terms and the condition contained in the covenant that the father of all fathers had with the fathers is that I will give the people that come out of your loins the power to get wealth. So it is not only bargain with the father that we will come out of our sin and live in his righteousness. Part of that package is also a kingdom prosperity agenda that the Father made. It is he that gives you power to get wealth. Scripture number 2. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. 3 John chapter 1 and verse 2. It has just one chapter, verse 2. Please walk with me tonight. I need you to be speedy. It's projected again. I'll read from here. Just follow me. The Spirit of the Lord is the author of all scriptures and is the one speaking to us in this place. He said, beloved, I pray that you prosper. That you do what, sir? The Holy Ghost is praying for you. And the number one on his prayer list in this scripture for you is that you prosper. Whatever prosperity means to you must be a good thing. Prosperity is not a curse. So for him to choose the word prosper, he knows what he's saying. And look at the levels of prosperity that he's talking about here. Number one, that you prosper. Number two, that you prosper in all things is what he says actually. Prosper in all things. I wish and I pray that, beloved, now that you have embraced salvation that is available in the Lord, in the Christ, I pray for you that you prosper in all things. That means it's an abomination for the believer to lay hands on anything and that thing does not prosper. It means that it's an abomination for the believer to start small and remain small. It is okay to start small, but it is an abomination to remain small, because there is a covenant, there is a declaration of prosperity upon every believer that has come into Christ. So I pray that you prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. It's a very sensitive topic because many of the people in the church avoid this. Actually, the church has a divide of those who does not believe that you can teach about money and prosperity and wealth in the church. Let's focus on Jesus. Let's focus on the Holy Spirit. Let's teach on the things that are spiritual.
And when they see any believer who is coming up like this to teach about prosperity, they will say, those ones are carnal. They have lost the race. They have lost it. They are not focused. They are not paying attention. Everything is money, 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 money. So they criticize the teaching of kingdom prosperity in the church. And they have their reason. Their reason most of the time is because there is another side of the coin of people that in every of their meeting and in all of the sections of the service, it is focused on money. If they are going to pray, it will be centered on money. If they are going to give offering, it will be centered on give to get. If they are going to worship, it will be centered on worship to get. So everything is about money, money, money. I've been into some assembly by God's mercy, and I sat in their midst, and from the beginning of the service to the end of it, every section was a money raising section. They will talk about money and raise money. They will talk about money and raise money. Everything, they raise money. In fact, it has gotten to a level where to meet some men of God in the body of Christ, you would have to pay some money just to meet them. But the fact that there are people who have become extreme in the emphasis on money and wealth and prosperity does not mean that it is not an agenda of God for us, the believer, to be rich and to be wealthy. This must be taught with the kingdom balance put in place. Because if we said the church should not pay attention to money, nothing else can be done on the earth without the help of money. Listen, brothers and sisters, no matter how spiritual you are, when it's time to do some things, prayer will not do it. Money will do it. You will not go to your children's school fees. To your children's school and pay school fees by laying hands on the proprietor and say, in the name of Jesus, I speak in tongues for 10 minutes. That is the school fees for this section. I'll see you next section. That will never happen. No matter how spiritual you are, you will not go to the market and say, the bag of rice, give me one bag of rice, kneel down here, brakata, 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 I'll see you later. No, sir. Ministry becomes difficult when this kingdom system is not understood. Can you imagine that you are seated here right now and there is no chair? You have to sit on the floor. Can you imagine that as you are coming in, we told every one of you before, if you want to enjoy tonight's service, you have to, as you are coming in there, drop 2,000 naira. How many of you will stop coming? So money is important, but money must not be overemphasized beyond its place, even in the kingdom. If we don't teach on money, Christians will come to church on Sunday and go to Abalist on Tuesday. While you are seated, you and I know many things happening in your life that money is the reason for the limitations. Many things happening around you that if you add money, it will not even be a subject of prayer point. If we collect your prayer point, 75 or 80% most of the time of the prayer list on people's prayer card is actually financial dependent. That means when the issue of finance is settled for the believer, what will be left in their prayer list will be very few. So it means that if you can get these keys and understand the dynamics of his working, your prayer list will be limited, will be little, and then your prayer time will be of quality. Effects of poverty on men and territories. Let's talk about that. If we don't talk about the effect of poverty, we will not appreciate why God is bringing this message. Effects of poverty. Listen, most of the evils, pay attention tonight. You can get the message and do the writings of the notes that you miss. But I need to walk with you within the comfort of time, so I need your attention. If you're still with me, say amen. Amen. Most of the evil in the land, most of the evil that we hear around in the nations, majority of them are financial dependent. When you see somebody carry a gun and you call that person armed robber, it's not going to pray. It's not going to steal prayer. It's not going to steal something that does not, you know, equal to financial value. The reason why there is an armed robber is because he has a need for money. Are we together now? I have sat down with some people whom you call in the world Olosho, Alot, and those who get involved in some immoral conduct. And at the center of it, many of them are not doing it for pleasure. Many of them are doing it because if they don't do that as understood by them, there is no way out of the bills that they have to pay. We have heard stories of people who are ritualists, who will kill people to get money. We have heard stories of people who are politicians, who will do everything within their power and within their confines to get to that position of power. Not because they want to serve, not because they want the title. Most of the time, what they need is what the title provides. And most of the time, it provides financial gratifications. How about people who have died because they were indebted? People who will go to Tomelan Bridge and jump by themselves into the ocean. And you ask and you do investigation, you discover that they will tell you, I am highly indebted and shame is looming. I don't know the way out of this debt. And they will hang their own life because of money. How about marriages? A man and a woman that met each other. I love you. We prayed. God said we are meant for each other. We have looked at every other thing. It's fine. Let's go on this journey together. But at the instance of the marriage, even only matrimony, you will see them saying, my brother, I can no longer continue with this. Let's separate. Many marriages have broken up, not because the man does not love the woman, and not because the woman does not love the man, but because there is no finance to power the romance. It's very important that you pay attention. One of the character, if you would be a good teacher and a good leader indeed, is that you must be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing per time to your people. We are at a stage of our life right now where it looks as though money does not really mean so much. Why? Because you have people who are still giving you. Somebody can still give you the 3 square meal. You either you work or you don't work, you will eat. Either you work or you don't work, you will pay school fees. But little did you know that there is a passing away of your time and your season already. And a time is coming that there will be no source, there will be no supply from that source anymore. It will now be you. You can trivialize this teaching if there is somebody somewhere whom every month, either you pray or you don't pray, either you fast or you don't fast, it keeps sending 50,000 to your account for upkeep for the month. You will not say this teaching as something that is important, because there is a system that is covering for your ignorance in this area. But the day that man looks at you and said, for 30 years, I have taken care of you, I expect that by now you would have found out how to dig your own well, and then it will be done on you that you have been drinking from somebody else's well all this while. How about pastors, whom at the beginning of their training into the ministry, they focus only on prayer to get power. They focus only on prayer to get the anointing. They focus only on the teachings and the awake ability to teach, the homiletics, the principles, the Greek and the Hebrew work of teaching. But they never pay attention to finance. And when they get to the platform to minister and ministry begin to expand, they discover that power cannot take the place of finance. They discover that no matter how much you have the anointing, you must have finance to power it. The gospel is free, but it is power that takes you to the, it is finance that takes you to the nations. So I like that you pay attention tonight to what the Lord will be bringing our ways. I myself personally have been to Oni and Son, the children hospital that we have over there on the ring road. And in one of my visits to the place, I asked from the doctors and the nurses there, I have come to pray and then to, with a group to pray and then to do some, you know, just give unto them. And when they began to tell us the stories, they told us how that there are children that died because their parents could not afford the medicine that is only 5,000 naira. I didn't say 5 million. Children died because of 5,000 naira. In fact, that day they were telling us the story of somebody who died, a child who died last week. Because after 2 weeks of the parent not being able to afford a medicine and a treatment that is only 10,000 naira, the child died. How many people have died in the hospital? Not because they are time to die, but because there is no financial supply. How many families has broken up in the pursuit of this thing we call money? Many parents, many children did not know their parents because the father is somewhere in Maiduguri working to get money. The mother is somewhere in Lagos working to get money. So the children will grow up and reflect the ideology of the society because there is no father or mother to teach them on the way to go. Men may not be able to separate you, but lack of finance can separate a couple, no matter how bonded they are. So it's important that at this time, while you are not under pressure to pay school fees yet, at this time, when the landlord is not sending you text message to let you know that your house rent is due yet, you find out the principles and the way and the provisions that the Lord has put in place for the believer to get wealth. I need you to work with me, sir. We are in the 2 word far apart. Maybe you stop praying in tongues and then you come back. We are operating at two different seasons, two different world. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I choose the way. Just flow with that, sir. That should help you. I choose the ways of the Lord. For the way of the Lord is the ways of wisdom. I choose the way. Why is it that many of us believers have come to believe that the heaven that we call our headquarters is a place of riches, wealth, and prosperity, yet the earth, the life that we live on the earth, is the direct opposite of the one that we have in heaven? Why is it that it is not difficult for us to believe that Christ indeed died for our sin, paid for our sin? In fact, many of us are taking a step further to believe that the same blood that paid for our sin also paid for our healing. So as a believer, we have come to the place where we no longer argue if a believer should be healed or not. But when it comes to kingdom prosperity, the believers still find ourselves arguing with this reality. There are common lies that we have believed as the believers. Common lies. I'm trying to put the foundation in place so that when we begin to build, we will know that we are all together. If you are with me tonight, say amen. Amen. Let's look at common lies about wealth and prosperity. Number one lie in the church, and especially even in the world, about prosperity and wealth is that God decides who will be rich and who will be poor. How many of us have heard that before? It is God that chooses who will be rich. It is God that chooses who will be poor. And when somebody is poor, they will say that's what God has written concerning the person. But what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say about the statement? Proverbs chapter number 22 and verse 2. For the way of the Lord. Proverbs 22 and verse 2. Look at what the Bible says. The rich and the poor have this in common. What do they have in common? The Lord is the maker of them all. Are you with me tonight? The Bible is telling us that both the rich and the poor have something in common. God made them whole. Now, God does not make them so. God made them whole. The person who is rich was not made rich because God ordained and made him rich. The person who is poor does not become poor because God ordained and made him poor. Mm-mm. The two of them were made alike. But as time goes on, the engagement of their time and of their life begin to separate the rich from the poor. God did not make them so. God made them poor. This was why God gave both the rich and the poor 24 hours. The rich does not have 25 hours, whereas the poor have 23 hours. No, sir. God gave every man equal chance and equal opportunities. When the rain will fall, the rain will not only fall on the rich to make the rich richer and then leave the poor out of it. Mm-mm. Its rain comes upon both the rich and the poor. When the sun shines, the sun does not only shine on the poor. The sun shines upon both the poor and the rich. So it means God does not predestine men into wealth or into poverty. Men chose where to belong. When you were only born with two knowledge installed into you. Every other knowledge, you learned it. A baby that was born with two knowledge. Every little child was born with two knowledge. Number one is the fear of noise. That's why when you go to a newly born baby, if you shout, even if the child is a day old, you will see the child vibrate and shake. We are all born that way. Number two is the fear of height. A young baby is afraid. That's why they hold you tight to be sure they don't fall off. Every other thing you become on the earth, you learned it. You learn how to be poor on the earth. You learn how to be wicked on the earth. You learn how to be rich on the earth. And the one you pay attention to and consistently feed is what determines how your life turned out to be. The rich and the poor, God makes them all. Not so. God makes them whole. Away with this ideology that God makes some people to be rich and some other to be poor. Some makes some people to be servants and some other to be leaders. No, sir. God gives men equal opportunities. Men choose where they belong. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 9. Look at what the Bible says. I wanted to make eye contact with the scripture. He said, moreover, the profit of the land, are we still together tonight? Is for what? Shout it, is for what? Read it for me again. Where you say profit, say prosperity. Because that word profit also means prosperity. Are we ready now? With a loud voice, I want you to read that first line for me. One, two, go. The prosperity of the land is for all. Why is it that some people have gained access into this prosperity, whereas some other are serving them? If the prosperity of the land is for all, should all not have access to it? God does not choose men who will be poor and then make others who will be rich. No, sir. Away with that ideology. Now, if you don't do away with this mindset, there is no way you would ever access the realm of kingdom wealth that God has ordained for you. And when we begin to teach, you will notice that wealth is not just all about money. I'm going there in a bit. But you need to renew your mind to a level where you will believe that the prosperity of Nigeria is for all. Not for the politicians. Not for those who are born in a wealthy family. No matter where I am born, the prosperity of this land, I have access to it. This is why the Bible says that if you are willing, how do you become willing? You become willing with your mind, gaining access and absorbing the reality that first, this prosperity belongs to me also. So he said, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good of the land. Can I tell you the truth, sir? Every nation has poor people. Every nation has rich people. Your decision puts you in your class. As rich as we believe America is, there are people who are homeless in America, sleeping on the road. As rich as we think United Kingdom is, there are people who cannot afford 3 square meals, even in United Kingdom. And as poor as you think some African countries are, there are wealthy people in those countries. There was a time that it was announced that Haiti was the poorest country in the world. But in Haiti, there are still wealthy people in that country. So in every nation and in every land, there are rich and there are poor. Your decision decides where you stay. Number two, lies that we have believed about wealth and prosperity. Money is the root of all evil. Have you heard that before? Money is the root of all evil. In fact, I've had ministers stand on the pulpit and say, "Don't you know that money is the root of all evil? The Bible says so." The Bible does not say so. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 10 is where they are trying to quote. Give us that scripture, sir. Look up, everyone. This is the scripture they are trying to quote for you. But I want you to read that scripture now with understanding. Are you ready now? 1, 2, go ahead and read. Stop. Start again. Stop. Start again. It's okay. For the love of money, the Bible says, is the root of all kinds of evil. The Bible did not say for money is the root. Listen to me. I have discovered that it is poor people that love money the most. You don't have to have money to love money. Many of the time, the people whom God has helped, especially in the kingdom, to gain access into wealth and prosperity, have been so helped that their heart is separate from the wealth. So you see a man who is a kingdom billionaire, yet he can lie down and roll on the floor. And you will see his gate man who is poor saying, "Ah, why is your guy rolling like this with expensive clothes?" You don't need to be rich to love money. It is not money that is the root of all evil. It is the love of money. It is the love of money in the heart of men. It is the pursuit of money. It is the obsession for money that is the root of all evil. Why? Because a man that loves money so much can do anything just to get money. A man that loves money can kill to get money. A man that loves money can give his body to get money. Money is not the root of all evil. It is the love for money that is the root of all evil. Can I shock you, sir? If you are really prosperous in the context of kingdom prosperity, you will not have the love for money. If you are really rich in accordance to the makings of this kingdom, your heart will be distinctively separated from this thing we call money. Haggai chapter 2 and verse 8. God himself is speaking here now.
Oh, for the ways of the Lord is the ways of wisdom. I choose the way.
God is speaking now, and I want you to pay attention. They have taught us erroneously that the love for money is the root of evil. I mean, that money is the root of evil. But we have seen from the scripture that money is not even from the devil. Money is from God. Let's read the Bible together. 1, 2, go. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine. Says who? Read it again with a loud voice. You know what that means? The highest currency in the world does not equal the value of silver and gold any day. I don't know if many of you, if you work stock tradings and commodity tradings, you will see on daily basis the price of gold and of silver, and you need to educate your mind along this way. I'll go there maybe in subsequent days. There will never be a day where they will say a particular gold or 1 carat of gold or thereabouts will be sold for $1. No, sir. Every day, gold is always more valuable than the currency of any country. So God is saying that the currency I spent is silver and gold, and they are mine. Whosoever told you that the devil is the owner of money lied. The devil never created anything. The same way the devil did not create sex, but the devil has perverted sex to truly destroy the lives of men. The devil did not create money, but the devil has perverted money to true money destroy the lives of men. God owns money. This is the revelation you need to get to. It may look very simple, but if you understand that God is your father, and your father beat his chest and said, silver is mine, gold is mine. Why is God informing us again? He's informing us so that we don't bring him to the class of men, where we believe all men are poor and struggling. Mm-mm. He owns the silver. He owns the gold. And if I'm God's child, I should have access to what belongs to my father. It will be an anomaly for my father to be selling meat and to be eating my food without a meat. The silver is mine. God speaking. The gold is mine, says the Lord. So lie number two. Money is the root of all evil. But is that true now? No. It is the love of money. It is the affinity for money. Have you not met some very poor people whom, if you want to get their attention, just touch their money? I have seen people. I work in the financial sector. I have seen people who will take a taxi and spend 500 naira on transport fare to come to the bank and complain about 200 naira debited in their account. I'm telling you what I have seen. You'll be asked, man, where are you coming from? They'll say, I'm coming from Ojo. There's no UBA around that time, that place. That's why I have come. Okay, so why are you here? I got an alert yesterday. You people removed 200 naira in my account. And you are coming from where, sir? Ojo. To complain about 200 naira debit? That is how far people can go when it comes to the pursuit of money. I have seen people create sin, including a man strike himself naked in the banking hall because the scammers took money from his account. There were times where you will see this video go viral and go the world. And they will say, this man has naked himself, and a full-grown responsible man that possibly have children will start naked and said, I will die here and kill everybody. Why? 50,000 I just left my accounts. The law for this money is not only communicated in the naira and kobos. Have you seen people that they bash their car on the road? And before they go down, they have flipped their trousers somewhere, they pull up and say, I will kill you here. You don't have to be rich to love money. You can be poor and love money. And if you are not delivered from the love of money, you will never have access to the true riches of the kingdom. Number three. And I'm happy that the Lord gave us this number three point. Are you ready now? You are too young to have access to wealth. This is the African mindset. Look up, everyone. For the remaining time, just look up. Go on the YouTube, go and get the messages. Let me flow. It has been taught, and many of you who are seated here tonight have come to believe it, that you are young to be a millionaire. Too young to own your own house. If you hear that somebody is just 22 years old who has built a duplex, riding his own car, and you check his bank account, he has a lot of money there, the first thing that comes to your mind is that he must be a Yahoo boy. Why? Because subliminally you have believed that you cannot be rich and be settled to that extent as a young person. We believe that you can do any other thing at a young age. You can vote at age 18. You can join the Nigerian army at age 18 and be sent to Sabisa to die at age 18. But you should not be rich at age 18. This is why, even sadly speaking, and don't think this is a means to endorse those who are into fraudulent and shady deals. That's not what I'm talking about. Sadly speaking, in our world, the police and our security operatives, the moment they stop a car and they look at the person driving the car and the person look young. The next thing is park. An armed robber. Park now. The only offense is that the guy is driving a big car but is a young man. That same car can be driven by a man that is 50. And they will pass the man quickly. Go, sir. Go, sir. But a young 25-year-old man coming with the same car, they will ask him to park and search everything, including his phone, to look for a proof that you cannot be rich at this young age. It's a subliminal error that has been brought into the African mindset. Can I shock you, sir? If you go to the developed world, those who are rich there, even in the world secular system, became millionaire at age 20. They became millionaire at age 22. They became millionaire at age 24. The founder of Facebook, the one they call Meta now, a group of company, Mark Zuckerberg, became millionaire at age 23. And yet it was not a big deal. FBI was not looking for him to arrest him. But in this part of the world, if you have access at a young age into wealth, they will say, no, something must be wrong. And in the same country, the moment you are 18, you can enlist on the Nigerian army without the consent of anyone. And they will not say that is wrong. In Africa, you can sign up as a member of the Nigerian army or the UL or whatever army, whatever country you live, and say go to war. And if you go to war and you are killed, they will not say you are too young to be killed. They will not say, no, you are young, don't go to war, we can't send you to battle. Mm-mm. The moment you are 18, they believe you can go to war. The moment you are 18, politicians see that you can vote for them and their vote can make them win election. But at that age, they don't see a man who should be rich and settled in that. And sadly speaking, we have brought this into the church. But what does the Bible say? This is a yoke that we must pray and break and renew our mind. The fact that your father bought his first car at the age 45 does not mean that is how life was programmed to go. It is actually a curse to buy your first car at age 40. Let me show you from the scripture. Numbers chapter 1 and verse 24. Numbers 1:24. I'm doing introduction. Wherever we can stop, we will stop. Look at what the Bible says there. And from children of God, their genealogies by their family, by their house, by their father's house, according to the number of names. From what age now? From what age now? From 20 years old. And what? What can they do? So the moment you are age 20, God sees you as an adult. You should be able to command what your father is commanding at age 60, at age 20. The fact that he's doing it at age 40 does not mean that is the template. If he finds out late at 40, he will do it at 40. Can I shock you? At age 50, you can learn how to drive. Is that true? And the car will obey you with all perfection. You will move the car. You can travel from one place to the other. So if you learn how to drive at age 15, will you be able to drive? But if you learn it at age 50, will you still be able to drive? So the man that learned how to drive at age 50 should not tell us that you have to wait till 50 for you to be able to drive. No, sir. He didn't get the knowledge that enabled him to drive at age 20, at age 30. He waited until he was 50 before he got that knowledge. If you get this knowledge at age 18, you can do it, sir. Can I tell you, sir? God does not put aid on our success. Listen carefully to what I'm bringing to you tonight. God does not peg your success in life to a certain age. At age 17, if I Bible history and believe that between 30 and 17 was the age that David stood before Goliath and slayed Goliath. It was at age 17 that Joseph was sold into slavery. So he began his life and his journey at age 17. By the time he will get to age 30, he was already a prime minister in a foreign land. Most of the people who are in government now, who are elderly, were people who took over this nation at age 24. Those who fought for the independence of Nigeria were age 20, age 24, age 26. The oldest of them was not up to 30. old was Awolowo when he fought for the independence of Nigeria? How old was these fathers? The first republic that Baba Obasanjo led Nigeria as a military government government administrator over Nigeria, it was age 24. Yet, you have been taught that while you are still 24, life has not begun. Before you find out, your time has passed. You actually need this knowledge while you are young. Sadly speaking, we are taught many things in school. But the main reason why we went to school, we are not taught. If you settle down and focus on secular education, brothers and sisters, you will be very poor. The highest paid professor in Nigeria now earns 450K. How much? 450K. That is not equal to the amount earned per hour by a young boy who has given himself to the IT knowledge in the United States. A professor that took time to study, many of them study for 20 years, many of them study for 30 years, earns 450K. With a person in power who does not even have BSc, determine when they will get the salary. You need education, but if that is all you get, you will fail. Most of the governors we have in some states did not have PhD, yet they are the one paying professors and determine when they will get their salaries. You and I were in this country when ASUU was on strike for almost a year because a man that does not have BSc refused to pay attention on them. We are taught in school how to be a slave. We are not taught in school how to be a master. And sadly speaking, we are passing it down to the children. But God forbid that the rising children will ever be that way. No, sir. That you will be asking a child, what do you want to become? And the guy will tell you, I want to be a businessman. You say, no. You will be a lawyer. It used to be a great thing while we're growing up to be a lawyer. I know lawyers who are paid $25,000. They went to law school. They had all the certificates. Yeah, they are paid 15K per month. I know doctors, medical certified doctors who are earning 60,000 every month. I'm not speaking this to downplay on these professions, but I'm telling you that beyond the academical skills, you need to get the kingdom knowledge. There are levels and planes of learning that you must expose yourself into. I've taught you that there are four layers of learnings as far as we are concerned. The first one is what we call academics. Academics is the lowest. It is what you are taught in school. It's the lowest form of information of receiving learning. The next is education. Education is what the world taught you, what you learned by experience of yourself or of others. Many are doing many things in the world, yet they are dropouts from schools. But they expose themselves to education. I've taken my time to study and to read stories of billionaires, especially young ones, both in America and in developed world and in Nigeria. And I discovered that many of them did not have a PhD. It was this week I was still listening to an interview of one of the notable rich person in Nigeria. Oyema, the owner of Epics. And I was just listening to his stories. And he was telling us how he started. And now he's one of the richest persons that own planes. A major player in the aviation sector. Not only in Nigeria, but in Africa. He started accessing to that at age 22. I'm not teaching you money mongering. I'm teaching you to wake up. By the time you are 16, you should have known what it is to have access to kingdom wealth. I told you about Bishop David Oyedepo. Imagine our father is just finding out the principles for the kingdom wealth now. All the vision will remain the vision in the vision book. Never come to pass. Imagine that Baba Adeboye now is just finding out access into kingdom wealth and prosperity. When you call a man of God fake, don't be quick to call him fake. ask what he knows. If you don't understand the dynamics of wealth and prosperity, there is no way you will not prophesy to feed your children. I hope you know hunger is stronger than any man. When an anointed righteous man is hungry, it can bring out prophecy to bring out food for him. If I was hungry and I did not have a means to get finance, you think I will not tax you? I will stand there and teach that if you don't give to me, you will not live to see the end of the year. Come on now. You go to churches and you see they will raise a prayer point that looks like a curse. They will say, if I have been laboring on you and you have not given anything to me, may my calling not work anymore. And you know that is all you have. Don't be quick to blame them. Nobody will be happy to see his children driven from school just because they have accepted the call of the Lord. Nobody will be happy to see the wife coming to say, my dear, there is nothing in the house to eat. You hear me say it many times and again. When you see a home that is sweet, three things amongst many others are in place. Number one, finance. Number two, communication. Number three, romance. If you have two out of the three, the home will suffer. If you have romance and you are a good communicator, but you don't have money, one of these days the story of your wife will change. Because a woman will not just live by "I love you, you are beautiful like the morning star." That's not how what he's going to live on. A time will come when it will come to you, and at that time, it is not your mouth that will do the speaking. It is your pocket or your transaction, the alert you send, that will do the speaking. So you must pay attention to this. Don't let any man tell you that you are young. Ladies, listen to me. Don't wait until you get married to a rich man and say, if I can just marry a rich man, I will be okay. This is how many people have fallen into ritualists. By the standard many of you, especially young ladies who are looking at me, by the standard you put in place, you will fall into the hand of a ritualist. He must be tall, dark, and handsome. I don't have a problem with that. He must have a car. Question, how old are you? 26. How old is the person you are expecting? 28. Why don't you have a car? And you expect him to have a car. You know, ladies, subliminally we have been taught that you don't have to do anything in life. You just package yourself. Just be beautiful. All you need is beauty. Be beautiful. And if you can work on yourself to get the curves. I know you are laughing, but pay attention. I'm serious. If you can work on yourself to get the curve. You know, I will tell you how it is. If you can get the curve and the beautiful face, don't worry. When the rich man comes, they will marry you. So you will see ladies, instead of investing in books that will make them better, they will invest in cosmetics. They will invest in makeups. They will go and buy extra yansh, extra hip, extra everything, instead of buying a mind that can transform you. I've seen ladies put themselves under pressure in all sides. If you touch them by this place, it's a gadu. If you touch them by this place, it's a foam. Even if you think they are tall, they are not tall. They are not comfortable standing on that 6 inches high heel. But they must match up for the guy that they want to come. You don't have to do all that to get a man. Can I tell you, sir? Every great man is looking for a great woman. Not a liability. So if I'm ending CEO, I'm looking for a woman also who has a company. Don't wait till if I can just marry. When the two of us become one, we'll become one even in his finance. No. What about you? The woman is not a derivative, or you are not a franchise of a man. No, you have your own life and your own destiny. So as a man and as a woman, I told you the story of our father. He gathered books that could help him and separated himself. Because the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 1, it said, through desire, a man separates himself. Many of us, we only wish prosperity. We have not gotten to a level where we can find and say, what are the keys to these things? I was highly indebted at the time, to the extent that when my phone rings, my heart skips. My heart skips because it's another debtor that is calling me to ask for his money. And many of the times, my guesses are right. But in the midst of that prayer, I prayed, I fasted, I shouted. I got tired one day. I said, Lord, there must be a way out. Then the books, the messages, before, many of you may not be, you can't do as much as I have done. In terms of hating these kind of messages, if I come to a settings and they are teaching on prosperity, I say, oh God, where is the Holy Spirit? Where is the Holy? Teach us on power. Teach us on level of the anointing. Don't teach on these mundane things. I began to search for messages on kingdom prosperity. I began to gather books. I began to listen to the testimonies of the fathers in the faith. It didn't make sense before because I had a mother who was feeding me. It didn't make sense before because I had a mother who was paying school fees and was paying house rent. I didn't have the pressure directly. But now that I've been exposed to the pressure, there are little testimonies that I will hiss up before. I will repeat that place again. I will listen to a 1 hour message. I will listen to that message for like 5 hours. At every point, I'm pausing it. I'm going back. Say it again, sir. Say it again, sir. Until it enter into me. I have been on every plane. A plane of not giving. A plane of giving half. A plane of not giving at all. So I know what I'm saying by experience. I have been poor before. I know how to, as a young boy of age 13, carry pan. That head pan. Put it on your head and pack sand from the river and climb 3-story building with your legs. I know what that means. I know as a young man how to sit and work in the bakery overnight, and even in the day we are supposed to be resting, dress up again and go to another place to work till evening just to make ends meet. I know what it means to walk slowly in this same city of Ibadan and walk it to places where you will be insulted. Okay, to places where they will talk to you like a rag. I know what it means. I have been poor before. I know what it means to wake up in the morning and queue by a bedroom because there are 5 people who are also waiting to use the same bedroom. I know what it means to put your water by the bedroom and just dart inside to do something. Before you come, the water is half. I know what it means to have to wrestle with tenants and co-tenants in the house whose room is next to your room. And if that person just eats, many of those rooms are divided by doors. Are you with me? By doors. So if that person wakes up in the night and just do bah on the door, you wake up and you think something has happened, it's your neighbor. I know what these things means, but I made up my mind. I have seen this, but I will be a failure if my children also know this. And that did not end as a blind declaration. No. If I must get out of this realm, then I must learn something new. What is the way? Have we been called into poverty? Let me know now so that we settle. He said no. The life of the believer is actually the life of prosperity. But many does not know the way there. Lord, I'm ready. What is the way? And he began to show me step by step. I got to some places. I discovered that some believers and some preachers have overemphasized that realm, and they did not teach about the other realm. So people camp around that realm and do that thing, and yet they don't get it. I say, Lord, what is happening? These people are doing this. Why are they not going to say? Because there is another part. It must be put together. It's like a giant puzzle. It must all be, the pieces must all be brought together if we will ever see the true pictures. And I made up my mind that when I start the assignment, I will never put people on pressure for money. The Ibadan Great Awakening Conference you saw here in September, we spent close to 2 million naira on that project. You, where you are seated, you know your offering. An average offering on Saturday, at least at this level of this ministry, is not more than 10,000 or 12,000. How many 12,000 can you put together to have a program of close to 2 million naira? And we did not stand here anytime to say 5 people who can give 5,000 come front. I'm not against it. It is not wrong. But I made up my mind. I didn't see my father, Bishop Oyedepo, do that. I didn't see Kenneth Copeland do that. I vowed never to do it. We didn't even ask you. The t-shirt we gave to you, we gave it the same amount, the same cost price as we got it from the market. There is a way that works. You don't have to behold to find out. Listen, brothers and sisters, you can grow in finance even as you grow in the anointing. It's possible, sir. I can convert this meeting now to a healing meeting, and you will watch the ministry of the Spirit of God, the healing power of God touching people and healing people. But we should not only emphasize that ability to fall people down, but when it comes to finance, we move back. I vow never to raise a set of people that will only be relevant when they need somebody to pray. That you will go for a meeting, and the only time they know you are in that meeting is, Pastor Joshua, pray for us. And when they are discussing money and making up decisions and making things that are important, they dare not ask you what you think. Because even if you know what you think and you think what is right, you don't have the economical power to back it up. I vow to raise people who are balanced with the complete gospel of the kingdom. 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 33. You are too young to access wealth. That's the lie from the pit of hell. Look at what the Bible says. That is the story of David I told you the other time. And Saul said to David, Saul sounded like the African fathers here. You are not able to go against the Philistine and to fight with him, for you are a youth. NLT version, please. NLT said, you are a young child. The guy he was talking to was 17. Killing lions and bears already. But he said, you are not able. He said, don't be ridiculous. Saul replied, there is no way you can fight this Philistine and possibly win. You are only a boy. Have you heard stories like that before? Why are you talking about money? I'm a dead man here. No, sir. That was the same way they were silent from talking about money when they were 18. Now that they are what age they are, giving birth to you, they still depend on uncle, brother, somewhere to help. You are not too young to access this world. Number 4. You cannot be rich without cutting corners. Have you heard that before? General belief. The lies we have believed in the body. You cannot be rich without cutting corners. You cannot be rich without, they will tell you. You say, everybody that is rich knows what they are doing. They even have one demonic Yoruba adage that the bottom part of wealth has, is the English I wanted to say. Can you imagine that? Not every wealth. There are people called and raised by God. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 22 says, it is the blessings of the Lord that makes rich. You don't have to cut corners to be rich. There are people who have never cut. Since Bishop Oyedepo has been shouting in this nation that if I've ever taken any government money, let the person come out. Has anybody come out to say, I gave you government money at the time? No, sir. There are people who were made by God. Abraham said to that king, I will not take anything from you lest you say that you make Abraham rich. This man has so much come into the understanding of kingdom wealth principles that he is very sure about his prosperity. So he doesn't want a man to corrupt it and say, part of the things that made Abraham, I put him, saying, let your gift be to you. Lest when you hear of my prosperity, you will now say, I made Abraham rich. Number 5. I'm wrapping up now. Number 5. And that's the last lie that we hear. And some other ones that you may know. You cannot be rich and righteous. Have you heard that before? You cannot be rich and righteous. They will now say what Jesus said without understanding. They will say, even Jesus said, it is difficult for a rich man to go into heaven. But the rich man Jesus was talking about there, they didn't read that in the later part of that scripture. Jesus said, how hard is it for men that put their trust in the wealth of this world to enter into the kingdom of God? So what he's saying is not that a rich man, a prosperous man, cannot walk with God. Abraham was rich in all ramification of wealth. Yet, when we read the story of Lazarus and the rich man, Abraham was found in heaven. Lazarus did not go to heaven because he was poor. He went to heaven because he had a relationship with God. The rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. He went to hell because he does not have a relationship with God. So even if you are poor and you lack this relationship that can give you access in that kingdom, you will still go to hell. You can be rich and righteous, sir. Genesis chapter number 13 and verse 2. Prepare James 2 and verse 23. I am this simple tonight because we are laying foundations. And I want every one of us to be a part of this foundation laying process. I'll be building some stronger things on it. You notice I've not talked about money. I've not told you, let's just get the foundation right. Genesis 13 and verse. Look at what the Bible says. Abraham was very rich in livestock, in gold, and in silver. James chapter 2 and verse 23. Don't forget that Abraham. James 2, 23. Look at what the Bible says. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him. For what, sir? The man that was rich is also called the man that is righteous. He was so righteous that the last line said what now? He was called who? So you can be rich and be a friend of God, sir. Get back home and listen again to this message until you delete those wrong lies out of your mind. Get back home and listen to it again. The number one lie that said that God is the one that chose. God has chosen those that will be rich. It's called destiny. Mm-mm, that's not what destiny means. The second lie that says that money is the root of all evil is a lie. It is the love for money. The third lie that said you are too young to access wealth. Go and delete all these lies from your mind. Until you unlearn these things, you will not even be ready to learn the new things. And all these lies, sir, prevails because men does not know the nature and the character of God. If you really know who God is, it will be difficult for anybody to convince you, a child of God, to be poor. If you know that God is the king of all kings, and whatever any king can have on the earth is not close to what God has, even on his throne. He owns everything, including everything. How can you have such a person as a father and then be convinced to live a poor life on the earth? You don't know the nature of God, that he loves to flaunt his glory through his children. And it's actually a kingdom principle that you know how wealthy a king is by looking at the prince. So how can God, who is rich in glory, how can God, who is rich in silver and gold, has a child that is poor and wretched? Because they don't know the character of God. Because they don't know the nature of God. Number two, because they don't know the true divination and the purpose of kingdom wealth. If I ask many of us tonight, what is the divination of kingdom wealth? Many of us will say many things. And in your divination, I can discern where you actually belong. Because if you don't know the meaning of a thing, you can't make the most of it. Let's try and scratch on it tonight. What is kingdom wealth? Kingdom wealth means having access to abundantly sufficient kingdom resources for life and for God's kingdom agenda on the earth. Kingdom wealth means having access to abundantly sufficient kingdom resources for life and for God's kingdom agenda on the earth. So kingdom wealth is not a showman wealth. Let me buy a new car. Let them take in this area. That's not the purpose of kingdom wealth. That is not kingdom wealth. Kingdom wealth is not the one you pursue and get by all means from any corner. No. Kingdom wealth is the one that God gives for the purpose of his agenda. Number two, what is kingdom wealth? Kingdom wealth is the wealth that has its source in Christ and trust to the believer for kingdom assignments. Let me take that again. Kingdom wealth is the wealth that has its source in Christ entrusted to the believer and for the kingdom assignment. It's a wealth that had its source in Christ, entrusted to the believer for kingdom assignment. From that definition, there are three things that stood out. Are we together now? Number one, kingdom wealth has its source in Christ. So it means you don't need to be a Christian to be rich. But if you would have kingdom wealth, you would have to be a believer. Is somebody with me now? There are two sources, largely speaking, where people can access wealth. Number one, you can get wealth in the secret place, the kingdom of God. And you can also get wealth from the secret court, the kingdom of darkness. Now, getting wealth from the kingdom of darkness does not mean that devil has wealth to give. Mm-mm. He can manipulate the laws of the spirit to give you access to what belongs to you in Christ. So number one, kingdom wealth must have its source in Christ. That means God is the source, not the resource. You need to understand this. You need to understand that God is your source. Your job may be the channel, but your job is not the source. Your business may be the channel, but your business is not the source. Just like every filling station we see around us that sell fuel now, they are not the source of petroleum. The refinery is the source where it is being mixed. The filling stations are the channel through which we get it. So we know that if I get to filling station A and they don't have fuel, I will stay there and start crying. I will drive my car to filling station B. If I get to filling station B and they don't have, what will I do? I keep moving from one filling station to the other because I know they are not the source. Can I tell you tonight, sir, that God is your source? Can you say that with me now? Say it again. Say it again. Say it again. Convince yourself to believe this. If you can believe that God is your source, then no man will play God in your life anymore. That uncle will not play God in your life. He may have been the one giving you right from 10 years ago. But if he wake up today and said, I will not give you again, I want to see that you suffer, you can tell him and say, Uncle, thank you very much for how far you have come with me. But you have been a channel all this while. God is my source. And when the brook of Cherith dry up, God can still provide the widow of Zarephath to make sure my need is met. God is my source. When they asked Jesus to pay tax for himself and his disciple, he did not look at Judas, because Judas has been holding the money. He said, Peter, let me prove to you that the master who is the source, the father who is the source, can make any channel your channel. Go to the fish, cast your hook there. The first fish you bring out, take the money out of the coin. God can use any channel to communicate the resource to you. But you must understand first, God is the source. Now, the understanding of this will make you to look up to God and not to men. You will honor men, because as much as we know that God is the source, we also know that men are the channels. Are we together now? So you will not say, God is my source, I don't need any man. You can have water in the well. If you don't pump it into the jippy tank, you will not have water in the house. The source of the water is not the jippy tank upstairs. It is the well or the borehole. God is my source. The source of this ministry, brothers and sisters, is no man. There is no man anywhere bankrolling this ministry, saying, I will give you money for anything you need. No, sir. There is nobody. I have fathers of faith. I have people I honor. But there is nobody who beat in chest and say, take 10 naira to run the ministry. Every time you need money, come and meet me. No, sir. God is the source. God is the source. God is the source. James chapter 1 and verse 17. He said, every good and perfect gift comes from God, the Father of light, in whom there is no darkness nor variableness of turning at all. God is the source. It may have come through men, but it came from him. It may have come through your uncle, but it came from God. It may have come through your company, but it came from God. It may have come through your employer, but it came from God. Never forget that God is the source and must remain your source. Your eyes and your praise and your allegiance must be to the source. Never turn any man to be your source. That's why when you are asked to leave a job, know that you have only left a channel. You have not left the source. And because the source is not limited to one channel, it can open up another channel. God is my source. God is my source. God is my source. If Nigeria were to be your source, by now you will be crying and languishing in pain. But God is my source. He said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. God is my source. This is why I can dare to say, no matter how bad the economy of nation goes, my source will never go bankrupt. My source can never have economic meltdown. It's the God Almighty. That's why I said, when the people say there is a casting down, my source say you will always have a lifting. It said to me in Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 10, it said, even if the mountain be removed and the hill be taken away, it said, my kindness as your source, the way I lavishly provide for you every time, will never be taken away. My covenant of peace and prosperity I will not break, says the Lord who have mercy on me. God is my source. You are waiting to see me beg, you will wait forever. I'm connected to a source that cannot be exhausted. If every of you say we will see his downfall, we want this ministry to collapse, we will not give money again, believe me, sir, God is able to raise stones to be the givers. God did some strange things in terms of provision while we were going through towards Igak. How God supplied in less than 3 months, close to 2 million naira, is still a story I will want him to tell me when I go to heaven. How funds were coming in from people that you never even talked to at all, from channels, from places. Blessed is the man who made God his source. Oh, blessed is the man who made God his source. God is my source. God is my source. He daily loads my life with the benefit. So when I wake up every morning, I look at the source. I am always conscious of this. I have indoctrinated myself into it such that when people give me money or give me anything, I will receive it and say, thank you, sir. I will not go to a corner and say, Lord, it has been delivered. What do you mean? The parcel you sent, I have received it. It's like somebody sending something to you from America. Your uncle sending something to you from America through his friend coming to Nigeria. When you receive that parcel from his friend, will you say, you love me so much, you gave this thing to me? No. You would only thank him for helping you to bring it. When you receive that thing, what's the next thing you will do? You will go and call your uncle and say, uncle, it has been delivered. Because it came through that man. It did not come from that man. It came from your uncle there. When anybody gives me anything, I thank them. I honor them. But I never forget the source. Never you celebrate the channel and forget the source. It is dangerous. This is the undoing of many. We have become so obsessed with the channel. Oh, my uncle, I love him. What can I do without him? We love him until we make him God in our lives. It determines when we pray. It determines when we do anything. As suddenly when he tells you, no more will I supply, you looks like your whole life is about to end. Because you have made that uncle your source. God is my source. It's my source. Not the banking job. No, it's too small to provide for me. No, God is my source. Not even my intellect. God is my source. God is my source. I have seen this strange God. Loud people who are even unbelievers. Those who should naturally not favor me. I have seen them say, I just woke up thinking about you, and that's why I sent this to your account. I know where it came from. It only came through them. It came from my source. God is my source. God is my source. God is my source. God is my source. Every night and every day, God is my source. The Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. The Lord is my source, and I shall not want. Man may be the channel, but God is my source. Man may be the channel, but forever God is my source. Companies may be the channels. Businesses may be the channels. Friends may be the channel. Sisters and brothers may be the channel. But I have just one source. My source, I honor you forever. You are my source. Without failing, I drum it every time and again in my home and in my family, that there is only one father we have in this family. Because the word father means Abba. It means source and sustainer. And I tell my children, if you have ever seen conflicts, if you have ever seen golden mom, if you have ever seen Milo milk, and you've seen all of these things supplied even before the one you have finished, don't think I'm a good man. It came from Abba, the source. And so they have been indoctrinated to not eat anything until they thank the source from where it came from. You thank the channel. You even say thank you for yesterday, thank you for day before yesterday, but you never look at the source and say, you have sent this and I have received this. Every good and every perfect gift. Give me that scripture. James chapter 1 and verse 17. Every good and every perfect gift comes from God. If it's a good gift, it didn't come from man. It may have come through men, but it came from God. If I am able to redirect your attention tonight to see God as your source, then you begin a journey into the realm of kingdom wealth and prosperity. Bishop Oedipo, we call this law the law of absolute dependency on God. God is my source. If you understand God is your source, if you say build that house in 1 year, you will not say how shall this thing be. The source who said it has the resources to do it. God is my source. David Yongisho was asked to build a church auditorium that is worth $5 million in 1972, when the church can hardly put together $5,000. But because the source has said it, from everywhere, mysteriously, supply was coming. We don't trust God enough. Many of the time, when we say we put our trust in God, there is a man that we put behind God. That when we say we are looking on God, we are actually looking at that man. Lord, I know you will do it, but this one, my uncle is not picking my calls anymore. Is he aware that the school fees will close in 2 days? If God is your source, even if your uncle refused to pick your call, your source keep picking your calls. God is my source. I was supposed to pay a school fees at a particular time, a couple of years, long time ago. And you run into hundreds and 200s or thereabouts of money, of naira then. And humanly speaking, I don't have 2 naira. I've looked at everybody that I think should be in the class to help me. And I began to pray, Lord, there must be a way out. Shabala, Kambra, Seve. Many of the time we pray the wrong prayer. We pray prayer like, Lord, tell Pastor Sheun to give me money. God may not want to use Pastor Sheun. He may want to use somebody who will not even take glory for it at all. I remember there was a time I was praying concerning one very notable woman, businesswoman, who had promised me some very beautiful things. And I would go to her and say, Lord, use, remind this person what the person has spoken. And God said to me one day, said, stop that prayer. Sir, he said, stop it. I can use her, but I'm not limited to her. And to prove to me, till tomorrow, I don't hold that woman 1 naira. Yet God has brought me this far. Trying to get a school fees, I've tried everything, called everyone. There was no means. I was pacing the floor and saying, Lord, where is the way? Open my eyes. And while I was praying, I kept hearing the name of a woman whom we are not so close, a Muslim for that matter. I said, no, Lord, you cannot tell me to go to talk to this person now. No, this person is an unbeliever. Does not even have the same faith as mine. We're not even so close. 250,000 naira from somebody we are not close. And no. God says, go ahead. And I picked the phone and I said, I want to see you, ma. The moment I got the person, he said, how long have you been in this trauma? I said, about a month and 2 months. And I said, picked up this phone. Give me your account number. Right there and there, the money entered my account. While I was struggling to pay back, he said, no, I gave you. You think you are intelligent to tell God who to use? Let the source choose the channels. Hear me, brothers and sisters. Let the source choose the channel. It knows the best channels to choose that will still bring glory to his name. Let the source choose the channel. It doesn't have to be your uncle. You have been taught here that no man holds you anything. Let the source choose the channel. God told me something very fearful last year. Son, it's time to build. Ah, with how much? And I said, okay, well, if you said it, I believe. And I took the step of faith. And what was supposed to cost hundreds of millions is the source. Is the source. Every time you walk, let your mind be fixed at the source. My people know me. I can tell you in the morning I'm expecting supply. And by the time I come back in the evening, I'm spending money like a Yahoo boy. My source has supplied. You will never hear me say I don't have money. We need this. I'm expecting supply. And because I have a source that daily loads me with benefit, it sure every time without failing lavishly supply. Your salary is too small to be your source. How much are you paid? Even if you save 100% of your salary, how far can you go with that in 10 years? If I save 100% of my salary, the kind of things God is doing in my life, I can't do it in 50 years. But I have a source. I have a source. Oh, I have a source. I have. Rise up on your feet. Let's go home. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. It's going to be a bold declaration. It's going to be a bold declaration. You are my source. I'm sorry to have looked at every other channel, but you are my source. You are my source. Somebody open your mouth. Lord, you are my source. Chalabresco Velanda Kaminases. Oh, my source. I honor you, my source. I worship my source. I worship my source. I thank you, my source. I declare that you are my source. I declare that you are my source. Pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Speak in tongues to your source. Speak the local dialect of your source. My source that never fails. Oh, I worship my source. You and I for you. You see the old man. You have all my soul. You know they'll break my heart. I've seen about your goodness. I talk about your grace. Now you may bust my brain. Every night I'm good. Hey. Daddy, will you pamper? Daddy, will you bless? Forever you're my father. Now you don't leave me. When I look around, I see your faithfulness. I hold on all my knees, cause now you will be the best. Daddy, where the Daddy, where the best? Forever you're my father. You don't give me back. When I look around, I see your faithfulness. I bow down on my knees, cause now you will be the best. Daddy, where they pampa? Daddy, where they pampa?
Mama, Are you talking to him? My source, you are my source. So I look up to him and to you alone. I look up to you and to you alone. He said, I will look up to the hill from where comes my help. Except the Lord builds the house, the labor in vain that tries to build it. Except the Lord watch over the city, the watchman watches in vain. Lord, I look up to you. Lord, I look up to you. I look up to you. You are my source. My source. Abba, my source. I worship you. Abba, my source. I refresh you. Abba, my source. Lord, I vow that from tonight I will look upon no man. I will look up to you alone. Alone. I look up to you alone. No man will take your place. No man will take your place. I vow. I trust you. My source that never fails. I trust you. My source that never fails. I trust you. You always come through for me. They may have been the channels. My uncle is not the source. My auntie is not the source. Lord, you are the source. No man can receive anything except it's given to him from above. No man can receive anything except it's given to him from above. So I look to you alone. I focus on you alone. I set my gaze on you alone. My source.
Forever, I will worship you, my source. Make sure you are praying. This is the secret that keeps telling you eyes in the spirit. Those that do know their God as their source, those that know their God as their source, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Those that know their source, those that know their God as their source. Many of you will have to mention the names of the people who have made God in your life and say, you are not my God. You are not my God. Lord, you are my God. You will have to mention the names of the men that you have put in the place of God in your life and say, I dethrone you. I take you away from the throne. And I have only God, only one source.
even at the Sabia Labo, Abomete, Abomete, Eyan, Amoso, Yelado, Imakamo,
you may abomination your job,
yet
that job is not your source.
Yelate,
banking is too small to be my source. There is no bank on the earth that can finance what the Lord is doing in my life. Fashion design is too small. Mention the name of that company and let God know that God is the source and not the company. My source and my sustainer. I focus on you alone. My help comes from him. All of my help comes from the Lord. All of my help comes from the Lord. So I will look unto the Lord. He can choose who to use, but I will look unto him. It is left to him to choose who to use. For the Lord is my source.
Hallelujah. Go home with this mindset that God is your source. Go home with this mindset. Find rest in these words. That even if the mountain be removed, even if the valley be taken away, my kindness will I not take away from you. My covenant of peace I will not take from your life, saith the Lord who had mercy on you. Is your source. Is your source. Is your source. Keep telling yourself as you go home tonight, how will I pay my house rent? My source will provide. How will I pay my school fees? My source will provide. As a young man, I have gotten to a level where I should settle down also and begin to plan about marriage. And how will these things be? My source. The angel told Mary, when Mary asked, how shall these things be? He said, the power of the highest, the source of all life, will come upon you. Lift up your hands. As you go this week, acknowledging him as your source, may your supply never fail. I'm decreeing again, you are about to step into some mysterious supply. You know why? Your source is a master in surprises. Your source is a master. He's a master in surprises. He can have 5 loaves of bread and 3 fishes. And want to feed over 20,000 people. And the people say, how will he do it? But it's the source. He can use that small loaf to feed the people. Can I tell you? If it looks like men are not going to align, he can rain manna from heaven. That's the source you have. When the brook dry up, he can provide a widow to still feed you. But I decree, now that you are leaving this place with the consciousness of God being your source, may your supply never fail. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, not from abroad. It is enough looking up to people who are abroad. So when you are sleeping by 2 a.m. in the night and you wake up to pray and you see their missed call, you couldn't pray again because you have to call them back. When you are trying to do something, I say, no, you won't do that. This is what I wanted to do. You leave God to pursue them. But let me announce to you now that everything you need for life and godliness comes from him. And if you look unto him, beginning from now, you will never lack any good things. This same source has provided for the patriarch of old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Hagin, Baba Adeboye, Bishop Oyedepo. We can count on and on and on of fathers who are riding on the winds of the supply that comes from the source. I add you to the number of men and women that we enjoy the consistent supply of the source that never fails from today in the name of Jesus. Father, thank you for tonight. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, you are prayed. Before you sit down, if you are here and you are not born again, the source only provides for his children. Listen to me. The source only provides for his children. Online, on ground, you have to be born again to participate or partake of the kingdom resources. So wherever you are, it's time to make your heart and to give your life to Jesus. Say this prayer after me and you will enter into the realm of his supply. Say, Lord Jesus, tonight I have heard your voice. I believe in my heart that you are the Son of God. I believe you died for my sin and God raised you up on the third day. I ask that you come into my life, be my Lord and my Savior. I am born again. My sins are forgiven. I am a child of God. In Jesus' name, amen. If you pray that prayer with me, congratulations. If you are in the house, wait behind. We'd like to see you. If you are online, go to our website and get a message. The mysteries of salvation and spiritual checkup. It will help you channel how to go in this pathway of Christianity that you have just chosen. And may the Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Father in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
We believe that you've been greatly imparted. To get more updates about the movement and to download our messages, visit www.ariseshinechristiannetwork.com.
Also, you can join us on our social media platforms, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Telegram, and MixLR at ArriseSCM.
Or you can also reach us on WhatsApp or call us on 0705314-5157. Keep shining.